What up, though? Oh, no. Don't use that one. Shit. This OG Kush got me sounding like a grown-ass man.
Y'all better not come to my studio with that fake shit. Y'all better not come to my funeral with that fake shit. Y'all better off realizing there's nothing that y'all could do with me. All I ever ask is keep it 8 more than 92 with me, 100.
What up, though? August 21st, 2017, iHeartMeeKo podcast. Shout out to you because you pushed the motherfucking button to hit play to listen to a G talk. I'm out here in LA right now. I have been traveling like a fucking maniac from Jacksonville to Tampa to Fort Lauderdale. And now I'm in LA. I came out here to spend some time with my family because one of my grandmothers passed away last week, and so we had her services yesterday. And so I came down and spent some time with the family and, you know, share some memories of my granny Rita and just have a good time. And so, you know, since I'm down here, of course, I always record my podcast at Mike's studio, but a bitch like me brought my podcast equipment with me while I was traveling because I was supposed to do an episode with Lil Duval while we were in Jacksonville. But what had happened was I had some Blue Dream on me and we smoked it and it just never happened. Like, we legit just zombied out and it never happened. So I didn't get to record the episode. So I'm hoping that I at least get this done again another time because I have a lot to discuss with Lil Duval, and y'all know that's my nigga, and we vibe real good, but he had me on his podcast, so I feel like it's only right that I have him on mine, and we can just discuss real nigga issues and have a good time with it. But I couldn't leave y'all hanging, of course. You know, even though I didn't get that episode recorded, I'm still in camp mode, just like I told you, so I decided to have some camp talk today. I invited Omar Kelly, Teron Davenport, and Jason Braddock to join me to discuss what's going on in the Texans training camp, what's going on in the Eagles, and also the Miami Dolphins. So we're going to get right into it. I ain't going to hold you up. We're going to get to this shit so we can hear exactly what's going on in camp. Welcome to the show, guys. I appreciate you joining me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Appreciate you having us on.
So we got Teron Davenport and Omar Kelly joining me today, and we're going to keep this camp-friendly. You guys are both in camp together now for the third preseason game of the year, and I thought it would be interesting to have you guys on. Obviously, the Dolphins have a lot going on over there with their quarterback situation, and the Eagles, you guys have a lot of new players, so you guys are practicing against each other all week, so I want to give the fans an opportunity to hear what's been going on in practice and also give a prediction for the game, which is, I believe, Thursday night, right?
Yes, Thursday night.
Thursday. So I'm going to start with you, Omar. We all know Ryan Tannehill went down with a knee injury and he's out for the season. You got a new quarterback in. But before that, I wanted to ask you what contract implications this may have considering the way his contract is set up.
Who, Ryan Tannehill's contract?
Yes. Like him missing the 2017 season, does it have an effect on his contract for next year?
I don't think it really has that much of an effect unless Jay Cutler absolutely balls out and the Dolphins just feel like they have to retain him and keep him as their starting quarterback. I'm not sure that's going to be the case. You know, it's too early for that. But Ryan Tannehill has got $4 million guaranteed for injury. He's paid $18 million. I really don't think that that's in jeopardy, just understanding how Adam Gase feels about Ryan Tannehill. I mean, he's really upset about Ryan not being there and not being able to take the next step. But, you know, this is the NFL, and everybody knows the man who produces is the man who gets the money. And if Jay Cutler comes in here and just tears it up, I would be shocked if he's retained for the next coming year. But I do believe that this is Ryan Tannehill's team still.
So you're saying he would have to play, like, amazing to take the job, but if it was just average, regular, pretty good, decent, he's gone after this year.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan Tannehill is able to sell himself still on hope. And even if even if the Dolphins do decide that, oh, we're going to keep Jay Cutler, the odds of them releasing Ryan Tannehill and trying to getting nothing from him are slim to none.
How much is he on for the books?
He's on the books for $18 million, which is pretty high.
How much is guaranteed? All 18 is guaranteed?
$4 million of it is guaranteed for injury. $4 million of it is
for next year.
So
I'm talking about for 2018.
No matter what,
he's getting $4
million. No matter what, Steve Ross is going to have to write him a $4 million.
Oh, he's out of there. Oh, he's out of there.
Yeah.
He's going to restructure then, definitely. It's got to be a restructure. You think they're giving him $18 million next year?
Oh, no. Tannehill's not restructuring. Quarterbacks are the one position that's fortunate enough to be in a position where I ain't restructuring. You're just going to have to cut me and set to the market. Remember that every team fears a free agent quarterback hitting the market for whatever reason, even though Sam, look at the money Sam Bradford got.
Right.
Just being a free agent quarterback, and he didn't even hit the market. He just, really strong-armed the Eagles for a ridiculous deal, which they eventually traded to Minnesota. So I have a hard time believing that Ryan will be an unrestricted free agent. If he is the first unrestricted, decent starting free agent quarterback, that would be my biggest dream, just because it'll finally sort of set the market for what these quarterbacks are really worth. And I really think these teams have made just horrible mistakes, misevaluating the position, just paying these ridiculously average quarterbacks $15 million plus.
Well, yeah, that's so they don't have to pay the other players. Just keep it in one position. You know what I'm saying? That's where it needs to be. Teron, what's up, man? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. What's up with you?
Yeah, good. I talk to Omar all the time, and I don't hear from you that often. We follow each other and everything, but, I was checking out, some of your tweets and everything. You guys got a lot of new additions to the team. Can you discuss some of the new guys on offense and defense?
Yeah, definitely. Starting off with Alshon Jeffrey, he's really been a major acquisition, and he's someone that gives Carson Wentz a guy to throw to even when he's covered, and that's something that they're working on. Is what Jay Cutler and Alshon Jeffrey did together in Chicago, where they worked on the back shoulder throws. Then they also worked on throwing the ball over top, just taking advantage of Jeffrey's what I call Debo-like ability on the outside. Okay. So that's a big addition. The timing is starting to get there. You saw that today where they were able to beat Maxwell for a couple touchdowns. So that's something to kind of build upon. But then you got LeGarrette Blount also.
Right.
And I tell you, when you look at LeGarrette Blount, a lot of the fans and some of the media out here are saying how it's terrible to run him on the outside zone and how he's a big back. He has to run north and south, but I don't necessarily agree with that. I think it is good to take a look at how he could perform when running the outside zone, because one of his strengths is vision. And that's something that a lot of people, they see the big back and they forget that a big back can have vision and cutback ability. And Blount is surprisingly athletic for a 250-pound running back.
Yeah.
So, they get caught up in the stereotypes. And they're trying to pay him more money to get down to 240, 245, and he doesn't seem to be able to do it. I don't think that he met the clause in his contract.
Oh, God.
Because when we ask him about it, he always says, oh, well, that's just my contract. So, he looks big, but – like I say, he has the footwork, the quickness to run those outside zone runs and cut it back against the grain, where the defense is flowing. So that's something to take a look at. But, another thing with that, if you look, especially at the game last week against the Bills, they ran outside zone about three times. And two of those three times, and I put a GIF on Twitter with it, and two of those three times, there were three to four guys in the backfield tackling. Now, I don't care if Larry Zonka is running the football. I don't care if it's Bo Jackson. If it's four guys in the backfield, you can't blame the running back.
No.
That's on the guys
no.
up front.
You don't. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. Go ahead, Omar.
What I found interesting about today's practice, because I'm not a Carson Wentz guy. I don't pay attention to the Eagles that closely. But, he damn near shredded Miami's defense.
Really?
I was quite impressed. The ball rarely ever touched the ground.
Yes,
it was Nick Foles in there sometimes. Is that a consistent thing that happens in practice?
Wentz is pretty sharp in practice. The only time where he'll struggle a bit is going across the middle, but he did that well today. You saw him hit Ertz, hit Burton.
Oh, Aguilar. Dolphins got no linebacker, so it's all good.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah.
You just go on ahead and do what you got to do.
Basically, and that's what they did. There was a period 2 weeks ago during 7-on-7, and the ball literally did not touch the ground. He was 20 for 20, I think it was. So, I mean, without the pressure, you know, he does a really good job of getting the ball to his guys. He'll take the check down, as you saw, you know, going to Pumphrey, going to Sproles. He has to improve on his deep ball accuracy and his mid-range accuracy across the middle. So those are some areas that he's working on. But, yeah, Wentz is solid. You know, I'm not going to crown him and say he's an MVP like some of these people are, but he's a solid quarterback, and he'll get better with time.
Great. Omar.
Yeah, Dolphins didn't blitz him. I noticed that. They didn't blitz him at all. They didn't bring any pressure, but he was just standing, and they didn't get any pressure with the front four. He was just standing there shredding them. I was like, whoa, this kid is pretty good. His accuracy is very good. Ball placement is very good.
Omar.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Omar.
Yeah.
They have two visitors that returned home. You were just talking about the Dolphins didn't have linebackers, and you guys traded for one. Was Kiko Alonso not playing today?
No, he was playing. I mean, it's just Kiko was all right. Kiko, you know, I think the Eagles have a very good tight end crew.
Yes.
You know, this is just my opinion, and especially in 7-on-7s. I mean, if you're just going to let a tight end run free, you know, and you have an accurate quarterback, it's going to happen. You're going to get shredded up, especially with no pressure. And the Dolphins didn't get any pressure. I think the linebackers weren't that much of a problem. I think more the cornerbacks were the issue. And you know, they got them a couple
times. Who are the corners? So who's starting right now? Because I know Lippitt got injured. Who are the two starting corners for the Dolphins right now?
Maxwell and Xavier Howard are the two starters.
And you said they were getting shredded?
Xavier wasn't getting shredded. It was more Maxwell.
Better than Brent. Okay.
They gave Maxwell some work today.
Torrey Smith
got him twice.
Welcome back, Alshon motherfucker.
Got him twice.
Welcome back, nigga.
Basically, that's what it was, you know. But Howard, he made a good play. He and Aguilar, he was covering Aguilar, and Aguilar went up to get a ball on a go route. And I was impressed with Howard's ability to knock the ball out, because Aguilar has, you know, done well against every DB that he's gone against. So that was a good thing right there.
Yeah, Howard is pretty legit. I think he's a decent starter. But they got Maxwell. They got him. They caught him with his pants down a couple of times. And his thing was, you know, they had 3 days off. They was a little rusty. I'm curious to see how he responds tomorrow.
Omar, so how did the Dolphins' offense do against the Eagles' defense?
A regular old getting into a groove. They don't have any chemistry. They don't have any rhythm right now on offense.
And Cutler's starting right now. Is he taking the starting reps, or is Matt Moore still taking the starting reps?
Oh, no, Matt's number two. It's Cutler all day.
Okay.
Like, no, nobody.
There's no camp battle.
Pretend like there's a competition. Nobody's even pretending like there's a camp battle. This is Jay Cutler's team. You know, he's taking on a leadership role. The players are beginning to respond to him. He did throw two touchdowns to Jarvis Landry when they start to do the red zone 11-on-11. That was encouraging. What I really liked was, you know, his pocket presence. I saw it on film, but it's different when you see it in person. The pocket will start to collapse, and these are plays where I would look at a Tannehill play or a Matt Moore play and be like, okay, that's a would-be sack. Quarterback's going down. Mm-hmm. Or the quarterback's like a deer in headlights. Jay Cutler can slide. He can move up. He's got a little bit of that damn.
He's a real quarterback. He's a real quarterback. You've been watching Ryan Tannehill all these years. You forgot. You forgot what it's like to be a real nigga in the pocket.
He got a little bit of Dan Marino pocket presence to him, where it's like, oh, I can move up just a little bit, or I can slide just left, slide right. He's playing like the Cupid Shuffle in where he's just buying some time. He's able to move laterally and still throw daggers, which is, you know, dangerous and probably has gotten him into trouble throughout his career.
That impressed me with him too. You know, that movement within the pocket, finding those passing lanes. And with that, you mentioned in red zone, I was really impressed, especially goal line team period, where he was squeezing that ball into tight spots. That arm strength is definitely there with him.
It's so interesting to watch another quarterback, Nico.
A real one, huh? It's so weird, right? Like, actually seeing a real quarterback is freaking you out, ain't it? It's freaking him out. Teron, you hear this? He's freaked out. He's watching a real quarterback now. He don't know what to do with himself.
I ain't going to say he's good, but it's like you just see, like, he ain't scared. That's the one thing you could tell about this. Like, he plays like, fuck it. I don't give a shit. And it's quite interesting to watch. Now, I know that fuck it attitude has gotten him into trouble, but I like a quarterback that's like, fuck it. I don't care.
You know what's so interesting? I thought that when he played with Adam Gase, that he took his balls from him in Chicago, and that's why people thought that Jay Cutler looked like a changed man. It really was that he took his ability to take chances deep down the field. Like, he really wasn't even taking those kind of chances that we're used to from a Jay Cutler. So I was actually curious to know if he would be still doing that in this offense. Are you guys planning to run the ball like you did last year and throw when needed, or is this going to turn back into a real life offense where Jay Cutler has the freedom to call the plays and everything?
I think they're going to give him freedom to call the plays at the line, but this is going to be a running offense. This is a run first offense. This is a play action built offense. And as long as Jay Ajayi is healthy, I would see him getting 20 to 25 carries a game, no matter what the outcome of the game is. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Like, I'm curious now. Every day I go to practice, it's not like I'm expecting to see the same old, same old. I'm curious to see him continue to develop chemistry with his weapons. I'm curious to see if he can make, you know, Julius Thomas come alive. I'm curious to see, you know, if offensive line was holding down other quarterbacks, no names, of course. Or if the quarterback can make an offensive line. I'm real curious right now.
You sure are. Teron, I'm curious about the Eagles' defense last year. It appeared to be, you know, part of the problem, to say the least. What do you think this year's defense looks like?
I think this year's defense is going to be better. And when you asked earlier about the acquisitions, I talked about offense, but you look at defense, Tim Jernigan is a guy that is going to eat against one-on-one, you know, protection, you know, going against one guy instead of two-gapping like he did in Baltimore. And he's going to see a lot of those matchups because everything's going to be focused on Fletcher Cox. So that's going to be something that's going to help getting that pocket pushback. Derek Barnett is another acquisition that has to be mentioned. He has 3 sacks in the preseason already, but more importantly, he's a complete pass rusher. And every opportunity I get, I will say that he's better than Myles Garrett as a football player. Now, Garrett is a better athlete, but if you look, you're not going to block Derek Barnett with a tight end like Alabama did against Myles Garrett with O.J. Howard, or like Ole Miss did with Evan Engram against Garrett. So when you look at just his ability overall to impact the game, he has an outside pass rushing move. He could bend. I mean, they call him Gumby because of the way he could bend, you know, and almost
that's
run
how you
sideways.
Doing it.
Yeah, that's how he, that's what they
all
call
260
him, you know?
Of them.
But then he also developed the inside spin move. He's been working on that for 2 years, he told me, with Chuck Smith, the former Atlanta Falcon pass rusher.
Okay.
And he has his own school. And then he just has an inside power move with a rip that he does. And he's a complete player, just period. You know, his ability to drop, they're dropping him back at the covers. He helped Steven Means and Aaron Grimes get a sack in the second game because he took away the slant, and these guys both got a sack on that. So he's a complete player. But the biggest addition in my book is Ronald Darby. And when you get a Ronald Darby, a guy that could turn and run, and you saw him today, Omar, he's willing to climb the ladder against a bigger target. You mentioned Julius Thomas. He went up and took the ball away from Thomas. Julius Thomas is, what, 6'6"? Darby is 5'11", you know, 6 feet with cleats on. But he went up and he took it. You saw you got, the quickness, yeah, you guys the ability need some to stick with too. Jarvis Landry. You know, but my thing with him, he's a guy that you could put out there and trust. So as a result of that, you don't have to put him, you don't have to have those two safeties.
You don't have
top,
to have the greatest safeties right? in the world.
You could go single high, drop your guy down in the box and blitz, or, you know, play against the run. You don't always have to have both sides protected. You could just have the safety shade to the Jalen Mills side, leave Darby alone, you know he'll be cool. So he changes a lot of things with this defense. His ability to be disruptive at the line of scrimmage. If you watch him tomorrow, Omar, you'll see he doesn't always get a jam or anything like that. He's able to just jump set. You know, he'll jump inside and reroute the receiver when he's trying to go inside. He'll jump outside. Those are some of the ways that you could redirect and buy your defensive lineman an extra second to or a fraction of a second to get to the quarterback. So those are really good things with him. I think the defense is going to be in a lot better shape. Michael Kendricks has lost some weight. So he's coming along. Jordan Hicks is still, you know, one of the rising young linebackers. Hopefully he'll be back at practice tomorrow. They took him out to do some x-rays. But also Nigel Bradham is another guy that you know, is really good. So the defense is set up really well in my book.
Bradham.
Yeah, I think Rovi was the one guy that really stood out to me today in terms of the coverage. I thought he played pretty well, but I didn't really see any standouts from a defensive line standpoint.
So you trying to say Derek Barnett not lit? That's what you trying to say?
No, he didn't practice today.
Okay.
Yeah, Barnett actually went with the ones. Brandon Graham, they took him out. He limped off. And Barnett went with the ones. You'll see. It's going to show. Barnett is a legit player.
Omar,
yeah.
When I talked to you a couple weeks ago about this game, and I told you the third preseason game is the one that I really like to watch the most, and you told me it didn't mean nothing. I said, who are you guys playing? You said the Eagles. And I said, oh, it's going to be good because I think the Eagles are going to be good. You said, I'm not worried about them. How do you feel now? How do you feel now? No, give me your – what do you think about this third preseason game? Do you think – Give me your opinion.
Based on what I've seen from where the Dolphins are offensively, they're in a struggle zone right now. I mean, it's 2 weeks. The quarterback, you can say whatever you want about him knowing the offense. Homeboy's been here for 2 weeks. He doesn't have chemistry with anybody right now. And, you know, and their depth from an offensive line standpoint, you've got backups starting right now. So imagine what's playing on the second unit. I don't think they have a chance to win this game. No depth at linebacker, really battling some injuries, playing young players in the secondary. You know, this is not a situation where they're trying to win. They're just trying to get some good looks and stay healthy, just try to make it to the regular season. So I have no doubt in my mind that this is not going to be a good look for the Dolphins.
Davenport, sir. Your opinion. Yes, ma'am. Your opinion, please.
Opinion on the Dolphins?
No. The game. Thursday's game.
Just the game coming.
Yeah.
Up.
What are you anticipating seeing from both sides? Do you think that this is going to be an ass whooping? Like Omar saying that they don't have a lot of depth. So he's saying even when the backups do come in, it's going to be another piece of an ass whooping.
Well, I think the Eagles are going to do everything they can to put up a lot of points. And I mean, you say that's like a Captain Obvious statement, but what I'm saying is because of the way they struggled in the first two games and they continue to have these red zone problems, I think they're going to really play the starters for a while. I would probably say at least the first two quarters.
And run up the score?
And they're going to try to score a lot of points. But the thing is, when I look at the Dolphins, you know, and a little bit of one-on-ones I saw, O-line, D-line, man, Sue, Wake, couple of those guys, they were over there eating. So that's something that I would be concerned about. If I was an Eagles fan, I would be concerned about keeping Wentz upright because Sue was dominating all of them, including Brandon Brooks, which surprised me. So that's something. But I think the Eagles are going to end up winning this game just because, like I said, from the perspective of trying to really get things going offensively, you don't really play these games to win, though. You play them to get different looks.
To grow.
So I want to see them develop the running game also. So that's something that they're going to work on. But it's going to be tough against that line. You know, Sue in the middle of the line, he controls a lot, man, and that is going to give them problems.
Sweetness.
No doubt the Dolphins are going to be working on their running game, just getting Jay Ajayi. This is the last opportunity for him to really play. You know, Mike Pouncey, this is the only game he's going to practice in. He's going to play in the preseason. So this is really their last chance to try to get this run game greased up and seeing what works and what doesn't work. I really don't think they care about the outcome. They're just trying to work on some fundamental stuff.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to get their ass kicked, though. I don't care what you say. Nobody wants to lose, Omar, Tehran. Nobody want to lose this game, because I promise you, if they lose when they go in the locker room, this is going to be discussed that they lost, okay? So it is important that they win. Okay, it's all levels. You can lose at all levels.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying they got bigger fish to fry. They can't worry about an embarrassment against the Bucks. That their focus is on getting ready for the Bucks.
Okay, respect. Thank you both for joining me and giving me some convo about this. I think this is the first time I've had two reporters on like covering two different teams at the same time. That was kind of cool.
Watching the same practice.
Yeah, hearing each other's perspective. Did you guys think that each other gave a good analysis of what was going on?
He did all right. No, I'm kidding.
It's important that when you watch other teams practice, just because you get a better sense of how talented your team is.
Yeah.
And man, Carson Wentz, that dude, I ain't know.
I told Teron last year that I really liked him. He's like, you getting too hyped. There's some things he still can't do. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, leave me alone. I like him. Leave me alone. Don't try to change my mind.
Wentz is good. Don't get me wrong. I'm waiting to see him become that player that makes others better. Then we could talk about you know, and that's the thing. Because it's with me, the conversation always goes into the comparison. They always compare Dak and Wentz, and it always amazes me how they fought Dak for having the weapons
that he had. Who is Dak making better?
Well, you look. Des, he had a really good year with Dez Bryant with Ezekiel Elliott. He had a good year last year.
He got the best running back, tight end, wide receiver duo in the NFL.
It was a cakewalk?
He still has to get them in the right situations, checking in and out of place.
What I will say,
he still has to do that. He still has to make the throws. And my thing is, everyone always faults Prescott for having the best this, the best that, and you know everything else. But they say, oh, well, we can't really evaluate Wentz against Prescott because, you know, Wentz has to have weapons. We can't evaluate Wentz because he needs weapons. So it's just the oxymoron, you know, the double standard always makes me laugh.
That's true. There is a double standard. I don't get – there's usually a double standard when it comes to a black quarterback. I look at it from he's got a hell of a squad on offense.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And – you know, does he have what Carson Wentz has? No. I mean, I don't think anybody in the NFL has what he has. Not even Atlanta Falcons.
And the other thing, basically, they had the same, minus Ezekiel Elliott, they had pretty much the same thing last year. And what did they end up with? The number 4 overall pick. That's all I'm saying.
Sick.
You
know, he's sick. I felt the shade. I felt it. But you know what? I think that a lot of people give Dak Prescott more credit than he deserves. However, the game that I witnessed live when we played them, our defense was pretty much trying to take away their run game, like basically just like, you're not going to run on us. And he threw the ball like 40 times, I think, in that game, and he fucking completed like 80% of them shits. Like, he made it happen. You know, so I couldn't talk shit no more about how many weapons he had once I saw him do that to my team. I was just like, hey. You know, whenever his name is called, he does throw the ball. You know, he doesn't have to do it as much because of what he has. But even in that Green Bay game, we saw that he had to step up and make some plays, and he did. You know, didn't work out. But, you know, he made some big plays. So, we'll see.
It'll be interesting to see how he responds this season.
Yeah,
now that there's film on him.
So, 1 year success.
You're right. We got to see now. Now let's see. We all want to see now. If there's film out on him already, everybody knows what his strengths are and his weaknesses. So now it's like, you know, seeing what the coach's game plan against that and what he does to counter. Going to be a fun year, I think.
It's definitely going to be a fun year. We'll see what works out. I just want to see Jarvis Landry get paid, though. That's the other thing.
Omar says that's not happening.
Pay the man.
Omar says it's not happening.
Not happening. Unfortunately, it's not happening. But he deserves it, but it's not happening.
Mm-mm-mm. Do you think another team gives him the ragged?
I think they have a better chance of paying Alshon Jeffries than they have of paying Jarvis Landry.
Well, they got baby Alshon, according to Cutler and Devontae Parker, so we'll see.
Yeah, they're going to get both of them. Put them on opposite sides. Probably for Jay Cutler, too. We'll see.
It's going to be fun. Well, guys, I thank you for joining me, coming on, giving my listeners some good bars. You guys enjoy. Is this in Philly or is this in Miami?
It's in Philly.
Oh, Omar, are you traveling? You on the road?
Yeah, man, I'm here.
You're on the road. You'll die for this shit, huh? You dedicate. Are any of your other newspaper guys there? Or is any of the other ones?
Yeah, everybody's here. Nobody from my paper. I'm double teamed on both sides.
Oh, you are.
I still do my thing.
You're still handling your business, though. Okay. Well, you make sure.
Armando took the trip.
His big pork chop eating bastard. I can't stand. Let me get out of here.
I had to mention the name to get your response.
Fuck him, man. Hey, y'all make sure. Hey, Teron, make sure you get Omar a good cheesesteak while he's out there, man. Don't let him.
He doesn't like cheese, according to Twitter, man.
He doesn't like cheese.
That's what I read on his timeline.
You don't have to eat cheese to get a good cheesesteak. I've never put a cheese on my cheesesteak, but I have a bomb ass cheesesteak. I put the onions and the peppers.
I had a crab cake wrap. Today, which was pretty good. But
that's not it. You
I'm not
Philly.
That big on cheesesteak.
Really? You know bread and meat?
Nah. I don't want to eat bread.
Oh my God. Omar is watching his weight.
I don't want to eat steak.
You watching your weight, Omar? You could get chicken. There's a chicken cheesesteak. You don't have to have cow. You can use chicken. God
I didn't
damn.
Even know they had chicken cheesesteak.
I don't eat the beef ones either. I eat the chicken with the peppers and the onions and the mushrooms. And the garlic.
Oh, she knows.
Yes.
She knows about that. All right.
I'm telling you, I get it lit. Omar, you got to get you on. Teron, you got to go take him to a nice, because everybody has their favorite spot, so I don't want to tell mine because I ain't there. But you got to take him out to get a cheesesteak. Y'all need to get up.
Jim Steak.
For the culture.
South, that's the spot.
Okay.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. Well, I'll holler at y'all later.
All right.
Have a good one.
I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Peace, guys.
All right.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
Very well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining me. I wanted to have you on because there's a lot of talk going on down in Houston. I know it's just preseason, but a girl is curious about that quarterback battle and what's going on. So I figured I might need to just call you and get the real tea on what's really going on down there.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. I'm surprised you got time for me, big time. I heard you was on Hard Knocks last week.
I was. Oh, my God. That's Hard Knocks is fun.
What did you and Brent think about it? Y'all liked it?
Yeah, you know, it's a pretty good show. I've always been a Hard Knocks fan. Brent didn't really watch because he's always in training camp, so it's hard to watch anyway. But I'm a huge Hard Knocks fan, and I really was falling off the brand for a while because the last few were kind of bad. So I was like,
last year was horrible. Yeah. Last year was the first year I never watched the whole season.
Word? Damn.
Yep.
Well, yes.
Yeah, it was horrible last year.
I was hoping that the Bucks, you know, gave us a good show and everything. And you know, of course, I thought, of course, I need to be included in it for this to be a hit. You know, but I wasn't sure if they were going to allow me to. You know, the NFL's hand is in there, so... I mean, just it's fun. I love that Brent's getting attention. It sucks that he's injured, so he can't really get the attention he wants from his play. But it's fun. It's a good time. Hard Knocks is uncut, and that's what I like about it.
I know your people. I don't ever get to watch the show, but I heard they somebody after we interviewed you said they were talking about you on Hard Knocks, Ballers.
Baller Wives, yes. I'm on your TVs on Monday and Tuesday nights for the next few
weeks.
Yes.
Congratulations,
yes,
man.
Thank you.
Brent saying you're getting more famous than him now.
I know, and he's the one that, you know, allowed this Ball of Wives thing to take place, but he didn't sign the contract. He's not really on the show. He appears sometimes, but he's not a character on the show. He didn't want to be at all, you know, and plus he was training when we were filming, so, you know, that takes, you know, precedent over anything else that's going on in our life. But yeah, but it's great. I'm having a good time. It's crazy seeing myself on TV twice a week, but it's a good time. So all I can tell you, it's a good fucking time.
Enjoy it, man. Enjoy it. Keep grinding. Enjoy it. Nothing's given to you. You got to earn it all. So,
right.
I mean, you can just come up and...
I appreciate that. But yeah, so let's talk training camp. Give me the overall look of the team, and we got to get into this quarterback situation for sure. But just give me your overall assessment of the team. Two games in already. When's game three for them this week?
Yeah. You said give you the overall view on the team.
Yeah, but I said when's game three? Is it Thursday or Friday?
I think it's Thursday. I got to double check it, but I think it's Thursday. They're playing the Saints this week, and just like last week when they had the Patriots game, they had joint practices with the Patriots up at the Greenbrier in West Virginia, and now they'll have joint practices. They practiced here in Houston today after coming back from the Greenbrier last week.
Okay.
They'll go to New Orleans, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday and have a couple joint practices with them but before the game. But I'm not exactly sure. I haven't looked at the game date for this week. But the main concerns are with the injuries at that wide receiver position for me. I mean, you got six guys that were out of practice today, and they're all of your top receivers. DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller's out, Braxton Miller, Bruce Ellington, who just came on the scene and was doing well, Devin Street. So it sounds like most of the injuries are not that severe, but still have six guys out when you're trying to groom Tom Savage to be the guy and get Deshaun Watson developed at the NFL level. It's not an ideal situation to have O-line problems and wide receiver issues.
Wow. Yeah, those are the two positions that you need to have the consistency to get things done. I mean, jeepers. So, and there's a camp battle for a quarterback position. Like, can you tell me, people are saying the battle is over, that Tom Savage has won. Are you convinced of that? Do you think there's still – a battle taking place right now?
Yeah, people didn't want to believe me throughout this whole process. Even when Deshaun was drafted, I said 2017 is about Tom Savage. They drafted this guy in the fourth round when Bill O'Brien first got here. It was the first pro day he went to. He went to Pittsburgh and put Tom Savage through the pro day routine himself, and then drafted him in the fourth round, pick 135, who coincidentally just so happens to be the exact round and exact pick that Dak Prescott was taking.
Wow.
Well, what does that mean? That means that NFL teams view both of these quarterbacks as developmental NFL starting quarterbacks. But obviously, you need that developmental to hit. It worked with Dak. It was expedited with that O-line, Zeke Elliott, Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, all the weapons they have there. Well, Savage is taking a different course. Played in a wing tee offense in high school, then went to college and played at Rutgers, transferred to Arizona, transferred to Pittsburgh. So he's never spent 2 years in the same offense since high school, and that was a wing tee, which doesn't get you ready for the NFL. So I say this all the time down here in Houston. There's only one person that knows this offense better than Tom Savage, and that's Bill O'Brien. So he's ready. He's the guy. And I don't know if you can ask for a better test than to take your quarterback that's thrown less than 100 passes, put him up against the Super Bowl champion defense and the New England Patriots without six of your starting first-team offensive linemen. Savage went out there, and a lot of people don't realize he didn't have his top three receivers, his number one tight end, or either one of his top tackles. The only starters he had with him against that New England team was the left guard, Xavier Suafila, center, Nick Martin, right guard Jeff Allen, and running back Lamar Miller. Now, all the other starters were out, either holding out or injured. So Savage still went out there against the Patriots team, that defense, went 8 for 9. And here's the kicker, Miko, that one incompletion, I tweeted out a picture earlier where the ref pulled the flag out, did the throwing motion, but held on to it and then tucked it back into his waistband. So I don't know why he didn't throw the flag, but if he sticks with his instant reaction, Savage is 100% completion percentage with basically all backups.
Wow. So then this is, they're pretending this is a camp battle is what you're saying. They're just making this interesting for the news, for TV, because people are saying that Deshaun Watson is having a good camp as well. He's, you know, throwing more passes, not completing them as much, but also is having a good camp because he's able to, you know, run and I guess score touchdowns more than Tom Savage, where Tom may have thrown some good touchdowns, but Deshaun is more of a running quarterback, which is something they're saying that they might need. What is your opinion on that?
Yeah, it's a great point you bring up, Miko. And I'm glad you bring up Deshaun now, because I don't want people to think that, oh, well, they're talking up Savage and nobody saw that much of Savage outside of Houston. So what does that say about Deshaun? Oh, no, don't let this be any indication of Deshaun Watson being a bust or anything else. I know people love to throw that out in kids' first rookie minicamp, but Deshaun is showing well. But when you lead up to the draft, you hear about all these quarterback prospects being developmental guys with high upside, but it's going to take time. Mm-hmm. Then they get drafted by a team, and then those fan bases put so much pressure on the head coach and the front office and the GM to play these guys right away. Listen, Savage is in the last year of his contract. Mm-hmm. And he's not on the contract next year. Brandon Weeden's not on the contract next year. They only have one quarterback on the contract. It's Deshaun Watson. They believe in his future, and his future has tons of potential upside. He is the future of the Houston Texans franchise. But I personally believe, and I think the team believes, that future starts in 2018. And I don't think that's a negative, especially right. with the last CBA that came into place that put a fifth-year option on first-round draft picks. So you get that extra fifth year now because mm-hmm. Deshaun was drafted in the first round. So you still got 4 years of what most rookies are still under, and it'll be his team. He won't have pressure, and he can see how the offense is supposed to be executed. I think it's a win-win for the Houston Texans, their fan base. And I understand Deshaun Watson and his fans probably being a little upset that you have to prolong seeing him in an NFL offense. But if you're a Texans fan, or if you're a fan of the team, or if you're in that front office, this is the best case scenario to where hopefully you can build value in Tom Savage like the Packers have with Brett Hundley, like the Patriots have with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's not in the same sense of having a Hall of Fame starting quarterback and this guy groomed behind him. It's actually the opposite, with a guy with all the potentials being groomed behind, but the guy that you want to try to trade is that starter. Worst case scenario, Savage goes out there, or as far as Savage is involved, Savage goes out there, he plays well. Worst case scenario, you get a third round comp pick possibly in 2019. And if he plays well enough that you and Deshaun's coming on, you trade him before the trade deadline. Preseason's not the final call, but as we sit right now, this is Savage's team. But they have multiple outs on this.
Wow. Good to hear. I was, you know, a lot of questions about Deshaun coming out of college and if he would fit, you know, on NFL offense. So good to hear that he's turning it around and getting in the groove well. And I believe that 1 year sitting can be good for him as well. Like, you know,
absolutely.
It could be a bad thing if they started him too early and kind of messed him up and he got rattled. You know, sitting behind somebody is not too bad unless you're getting your ass whooped and you feel like you can make it better. So
right, if they
start getting their ass whooped.
Well, yeah, and remember this, Miko. You know, I haven't thrown this out there and mentioned it much, but I've already kicked around behind the scenes a little bit. And just because Deshaun Watson's not the starting quarterback, it's not traditional, but it doesn't mean it won't happen. Mm-hmm. Just because he's coming off the bench doesn't mean he can't come into the game, if you catch my drift on
mm-hmm.
that. There's some things in his game that he's one of the best in the NFL at right now.
You can
bring him in as that mobile quarterback. 31,
right.
run a bootleg.
Right.
He's a threat of run. He's a threat
right.
to hit the tight end or running back. So I think Watson sees the field this year, and I think he sees it early, but I think it's in special packages.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we eye to eye then, because that's exactly what I see. That's a strong weapon to have, and I would hate for them to not take advantage of it if it could mean the difference between some wins and losses this season. You know, that whole, oh, well, Tom's a starter. Like, I like that you just said that. Maybe they'll play some offense where he can get in there for some specialized plays.
Bill LeBron firmly believes in putting your best players on the field.
Finally,
so,
huh?
having Deshaun sit on the sidelines probably – it's not executing the most value from your team. But let me throw this out there, too, as another reason that could be a saving grace for Deshaun not seeing action until 2018. The Texans wanted to take a tackle high this class, but it's a weak draft class, so much so that a lot of experts have them in mock drafts taking Garrett Bowles or taking a Cam Robinson or a Ryan Ramczyk because they needed that tackle position, and experts had a mock draft and taking that over a quarterback, the most important position. So it tells you the need at that tackle position. Dwayne Brown's holding out. Derek Newton got injured last year. So you got backup, vet backups, but you still got backups at those tackle positions. And my comp for Deshaun Watson, the closest comp I could find for him coming out, was Marcus Mariota. The negative side of that comp, they're both slightly built, and we've seen Marcus Mariota struggle to stay on the field. Do you really want to put the future face of the franchise behind an offensive line that doesn't have any starting tackle?
Yeah.
Now he gets injured and you set back his career like Robert Griffin III.
You bring up a very, very valid point. Very valid. They might want to get things squared away on that offensive line before they put their future out there. Very valid.
Exactly.
Dante Foreman, his name's come up a couple times between some friends. What's your opinion on him?
Yeah, this is the rookie everybody should be talking about with the Texans right now. Deontay Foreman is an animal. I mean, this kid, I know you're familiar with Lamar Miller with y'all signed down there in Miami. Lamar Miller's not in the same league as Deontay Foreman. And I like Lamar Miller. But listen, you know, when the Texans signed Lamar Miller, I don't know your relationship. I'm not trying
Doesn't matter at all.
All I can do is be real and tell you
keep
what I
real.
See. And what I see was the Miami Dolphins drafted Lamar Miller out of, you know, from the Miami Hurricanes. And throughout his entire rookie contract, they used him as they thought so fit. I don't know why the Houston Texans let this ego factor into where they think they know a prospect better than the team that had him throughout his whole rookie contract. In Miami, he was never a three-down back. That was not him, and that's not what the film showed him to be. Then he comes to Houston, and Houston says, we're going to make you a three-down back. And even though he had over 1,000 yards, he struggled. He left a lot of yards out on the field. Deontay Foreman's bigger. He's fast. The guy is more elusive than what you expect. He can catch. The guy, you know, he ran last year at college at 250, and now he's down in the 230s, and he was explosive last year. He's a 4.5 guy at 250. So it's not a matter of if, but when Deontay Foreman becomes the lead back for this Texans team.
And that happens in 2017?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Yeah, I got to watch this. I got to see this.
Yeah, I think 2017, when the season's all said and done, Deontay Foreman has the stats. The guy to not sleep on in that backfield is Tyler Irvin, but more in the passing game than the running game. So you're going to have Tyler Irvin eating some of the catches away from Lamar Miller, and you're going to have Deontay Foreman taking away a lot of that first and second down work. Because, like I said, I'm not mixing my words here. Lamar Miller's not on the level of Deontay Foreman. This kid's going to impress.
So he got people eating from both sides of his food, from both sides of his plate.
Absolutely.
He got people picking off of it.
Yeah, if you play fantasy, I don't know if you and Brent play fantasy. I
definitely do.
Expectations on Lamar.
Okay, good to know. Appreciate it. Let's switch to the other side of the ball. The defense has been pretty much the star of this entire team for quite a while now, and looks like offense might be trying to get it together. So, how's the defense going to look this year?
This could possibly be the best front seven in the NFL. If Bill O'Brien loves versatility, he got here in 2014, and he started adding these players that have position versatility, guys that can play D-tackle, D-N, outside linebacker, D-N, inside linebacker. Saturday was just a preseason game, yet the Texans and Mike Vrabel come out with a dime personnel group and with their inside linebacker, star inside linebacker, Bendardrick McKinney, at the D-tackle position. So, and those other teams that Nick set up, you usually don't see it in the preseason, though. And with Bendardrick McKinney, I've seen him standing as an outside linebacker pass rusher. His home position is inside linebacker. And now he's inside in sub packages as a three-technique tackle. I know the guy's 6'4", 260-plus, but his versatility is just something this team's excited about. And they get similar versatility from Clowney at hand in the dirt, DN, standing up outside linebacker. J.J. Watt, DN outside, interior pass rusher. D.J. Reader, 3 technique, 5 technique, 1 technique. Same thing with Carlos Watkins. And they have that versatility all up and down the front seven. So I don't think I'm overstating this when I say that the Texans are in the short conversation for the best front sevens in football. The question is how quick and if they get that safety position fixed, because that's
I was going to ask you about that.
There, but nobody's claimed it yet.
I was going to ask you about that secondary, because you know that's my favorite part of the whole team for real, but mainly the defense. And you guys have had some issues with that safety position. Never, I don't know what it is and why you guys never have good safeties. I don't know what's going on.
Right.
But to me, you stated this is the best front seven in the league, which is great, which you're going to obviously need. But in this pass happy league, do you see that being able to take the air out of what you consider the best front seven in the league? Because you know the secondary can just fuck everything up if they're not right back there.
I know you love that cornerback position. Kevin Johnson has the best route recognition of a kid coming out of college. Does that mean he's the best corner? No. But his route recognition, when you go study some film of Kevin Johnson, just watch the route recognition. For a kid this young in the league and a kid coming out of college at Wake Forest and having that type of route recognition, plus he has the speed, light build, but it doesn't stop him from being physical, coming up in attack. He can play inside or outside. Then you got the vet, JJ, on the other side. You know what you have in him. Here's the interesting thing. There's thin after that at corner, and they want to move Kareem Jackson to safety, and they've toyed with him at safety in the past. In the playoff game against the Patriots, Kareem moved from corner to play some safety. He's played inside. He's played outside. But he's best suited for safety. And I believe they want to move him to safety. But after they let A.J. Boyer walk in free agency, don't get me started, because me,
I can't
make any sense of that.
What happened? What happened?
25 years old, in his prime, you groom him, and then let him go to a division rival, and you have the money to sign him.
Please explain to me how that happened. How? In the same division. How?
I can't. I wish I could, because it makes no sense. I mean, that should have been the first order of business in the offseason, was to get A.J. Boyer back in. They dropped the ball on that. And if they did bring A.J., I tell you right now, Kareem Jackson would be a safety, in my opinion. They had interest in Tremaine Brock when he was cleared of wrongdoing, but I think Tremaine signed with the Seahawks. I know he signed, but he signed with another team. He didn't sign with the Texans, but I bring that up because it lets you know the Texans are still monitoring the cornerback market. And if they go get a vet that they think can come in and contribute immediately and give them the depth that they need, then I think Kareem Jackson gets moved to safety. That takes care of half of your safety issue. Andre Hall's Howell's played well there. Corby Moore has shown flashes. But the guy I'm really interested in is the guy they signed as a street free agent, just like they did with Quentin Demps, and that's Marcus Gilchrist. But he's coming back from injury. If he can get back from injury, Marcus corner for the Chargers. He also played safety. Then he went to the Jets in free agency, but had an injury last year. If he's back to health and they sign another corner, Marcus Gilchrist and Kareem Jackson could solidify the safety group, and it'll be a non-talking point in a couple of weeks.
Interesting. So now that we know the defense is still going to be holding this team down, if you guys can get over that offensive hump, do you see the team completing the trio of winning the division for the third straight year?
Yeah, I think they do. That's a great question. A lot of people are leaning towards the Titans. I like the Titans. I liked them last year. I like them even more so this year. Bringing in Eric Decker as the vet guy in that wide receiver group, drafting a guy like Corey Davis. You got that exotic smash mouth with Derrick Henry, DeMarco Murray. You get Janu Smith. That I don't know if you remember this. You're down there in Florida. Do you remember Janu Smith?
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, I figured it would. his girlfriend last year when he was in college, I believe at FIU, was the one that made all the national news throwing the water on him.
Yes, that's why that name sounds familiar. Oh, my God. Absolutely. So he's back?
Yeah, absolutely. He's in Tennessee now with Delaney Walker. That's a hell of a top two tight end set right there. So I love all the weapons on offense, love the O-line, and I understand why people stand behind him, especially when you have Dick LeBeau on the defense as the D coordinator. But Dick LeBeau can't make miracle out of nothing, and I don't think that Titans defense is anywhere close to being complete. Mm-hmm. So I got the Titans more as an 8-9 win team. I got the Texans more as a 9-10 win team. So Texans hold on at least for one more year.
Well, I'll be watching. Should be very, very interesting.
It's going to be fun.
Yes, it is. Almost time, man. Thank you so much, Jason. We always have good convo, man. If you ever find out what happened with that situation with AJ, please let me know. I need some answers. I need to understand.
There's no action. Rick Smith does a really good job. He gets a bad rap on a lot of stuff, but he does a really good job. But with that AJ Boye, there's no excuses. Everybody in the organization, from the head coach to the owner, takes blame for that, because you don't groom a guy as an undrafted free agent for whatever it was, 3 or 4 years, and then when he's in the prime of his career, 25 years old, fits the stereotype of what the NFL is looking for with his new age corner of 6-foot-plus. He fits everything that your franchise is trying to do. He's a good locker room guy, and you let him walk. There's no excuse. It was a bad decision.
We're going to see if he make y'all pay for it, though. That's we're going to get to see it twice now.
Him and Jalen Ramsey both. And don't sleep on Aaron Culver. If Culver can stay healthy, that's a hell of a 1-2-3.
Okay. This is going to be good, boy. This is about to be good.
Nah, man.
But I'm going to let you go.
It's almost football season.
Yes, almost that time.
Let's go out to Monday Night Football. Yes. And I might have to check out some people I know on Hard Knocks.
Yes, and Baller Wives. Don't forget that's on tonight at 9 o'clock.
And Baller Wives as well.
It's at 8 o'clock.
I didn't know that one.
You're on Central Time Zone, right?
Central, yeah.
It's at 8 o'clock for you. It's coming on tonight.
What night?
Tonight. VH1, 8 o'clock in Texas.
I can finally get my wife to watch something football related with me. She'll definitely sign up for that.
Well, no. Hard Knocks is tomorrow night at 10. 9 for you.
Okay.
Hard Knocks is tomorrow, 9 for you. Ball of Wives is tonight, 8 o'clock for you.
Absolutely.
That's what that is.
I'll tell my wife that you're on Baller's Wife, and she always watches Hard Knocks with me.
Okay,
cool. I can get her to get Baller's Wife, too, so I'm going to have to check that out. Keep doing your thing. Tell Brent to get well, and we know he'll do his thing as well. We wish y'all a successful 2017 season and all of y'all's endeavors.
Appreciate it. Blessings to you as well.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, peace. That was fun. Shout out to my guests that joined me, Omar Kelly, Teron Davenport, and Jason Braddock. I appreciate you guys tremendously. I'm going to get another camp episode next week. I'm going to try to get some ladies on here to talk about some football, since, you know, certain people seem to think that women shouldn't talk about football or, you know, probably sports in general, that probably feel like we just belong in the kitchen or some shit like that. So next week, I'm going to try to get together a couple ladies to join my podcast and talk about the sport that women shouldn't talk about. Fuck y'all, though. Peace. Ich stürzte zu.